Seated. And if not, we'll pray for you. That's all right. Glad that you're here. Now, I need to let, how many of you got your sermon outline? You know, I know that I preach to all different kinds of personalities, and one of the personalities that I preach to is to find out where I've made mistakes. And so after the first service, somebody kindly came up to me in a really good spirit and said, "Bob, you're wrong about one verse." So I want you to take out your sermon notes, and where it says Isaiah 50:31, it's Isaiah 40:31. So just before the detailed people in the church, you know, I put this in here so that you have something to do. Some of you search and you are disappointed when you don't find something that needs to be corrected. And so that's just my gift to you this morning, all right? You can be at peace and listen to the message. We're coming to the end of our series. Look at the title of this. Season of Waiting. I'm so glad I'm part of the family of God. We're coming to the end, and thank God we're coming to the end because I can't even do the notes right. But we're looking at a season today, a season of waiting. And I'm looking forward to our next series that's coming up. We're looking at our real Christmas wish for Christmas. And I want you to just really start thinking about people that you can invite and be a part of what we're going to be doing on Christmas Eve. I'm going to be answering the statement, "I wish I mattered to God." So I want to encourage you to come and bring someone who might be open to hearing about that, because we're going to look at Mary, because we, like Mary, matter to God. But I'll talk about that on Christmas Eve, all right? How many are going to be around Christmas in this area? Put up your hand. All right, great. Glad you're going to be here. Those of you that are traveling, we trust that you just have a great time with your family. We'll miss you. But you can pick it up online too later if you want to do that. All right, so let's get right into the notes here. Embrace the season of life of waiting. How many of you like waiting in a waiting room when you go to see the doctor or when you go to a dentist? Put up your hand. Huh? You like doing that. Just by the way, just a little rant. How come they get to do whatever they want to do whenever they want to do it, and we still have to wait? You know, your time is valuable too, right? Not according to them. You're right. Do you ever feel like you're in God's waiting room? You put your name in at the window and you're told to be seated and God will be right with you. And you wait and you wait and you wait. The truth is, many of us long for one thing. It may be an answer to prayer or a miracle from God. And there's something in our life that we can't get by on our own wit, on our own scheme, by our own finances, by our own endurance. Not even charming. You know, we just can't get it even by charming God. And if it's not working to get that one thing that only God can grant. And he said, "Not yet." And sometimes we pray, we say, "God, I'll do anything. I'll go to church. I'll listen to the messages online. I'll read books. I'll read the Bible. I'll do anything. I'll even laugh at Bob's jokes." And nothing works. We even try manipulating God, and that doesn't work. "If only I could get married. If only my parents would come to the Lord. If only my job would come through. If only my finances would turn around." It's all a season of waiting. And maybe it's just a little thing. But for you right now, it's the only thing that matters. It's what you think about every day. And it's a season of waiting. Today we're going to talk about, how do you handle a season of waiting? And more than that, how do you grow through a season of waiting? Why does God make us wait? It's a great question. Because of what it does to us. Because of what waiting does to us. Because of what happens inside us when we do wait. Because waiting is one of God's greatest tools for growth. How do I know that? The Bible shows us again and again how it is a tool. Before I show you how to wait and why it helps you to grow, let me give you two or three things that this tool of waiting does in our lives. So what does waiting do? Why does God make us wait? Number one, it renews our strength. Isaiah 40:31 teaches us that God wants to give us a brand new kind of strength. Have you ever felt like you ran out of gas emotionally or physically or even spiritually? Waiting is one of those things that God does to refill our tank. And waiting is one of the ways God uses to help you and I recharge emotionally. I need it and you need it. Isaiah gives us a picture of how when we wait, it helps us to mount up with wings like eagles, to run and not be weary, to walk and not faint. I love that picture. I need that kind of strength in my life. Waiting forces us to stop so that God can recharge our spiritual batteries. And we all need that sometimes. So often we think that we have to live a life of, you know, and we look at our life as being driven. And as a leader, I'm prone to action. It's hard for me to sit and wait. Because for some reason, I believe I'm more of a human doing than a human being. And God wants you and I to experience Him in those times where we are waiting on Him so that we can realize that we're a spiritual being. We're a human being, not a human doing. You see, let me let you in on a little secret this morning. You're not the ever ready bunny. Or that one too. They're in all the services. I can't believe this. I'm so glad you're here. I'm going to rewrite my message. Next week it will be the same one, only corrected. How about that? Yeah. You're not the Energizer bunny. You're not the Energizer wife. You're not the Energizer husband. You're not the Energizer Christian. We were made to have times in our lives for waiting. And God uses those times to recharge us, to get us going in the right direction. Number two, it refines our character, just like preaching on Sunday morning does. There's a verse in Romans about why God allows us to wait. Look at what it says. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they're good for us. They help us learn to be patient, and patience develops strength of character in us. How many of you remember the Polaroid camera where you would shoot and wait? For those of you that don't know it, Google it. I'm sure it's on YouTube. It's something like waiting for your Polaroid picture to develop. You snap that picture, but it takes a little time for it to develop. And God uses times of waiting for us to develop us. He made us and He loves us. So doesn't it make sense that He knows just what to do in our lives to bring out all that He has made us to be? The Bible says that one of the reasons we have to wait, God could give it to us right now. And if He loves us, why doesn't He? Because God is more concerned in developing us than giving us what we want. So waiting develops our character. Now, if you're like me, I don't like developing character. I'd rather not have to wait. How many of you would like to develop your character without waiting this morning? Put up your hand. All right? I'm not worried about you. It's the person next to you I'm worried about. No, I'm just kidding. But that's how we're made. You can't make steel without tempering it. You can't develop character without going through times of waiting. But there's a third reason. The third reason is it also refocuses our purpose. Look at what the Bible says about the expert on waiting, Job. James chapter 5, verse 11 says, "You've heard about Job's patience, and you know the Lord's purpose for him in the end." On the other side of patience is purpose. On the other side of waiting is a renewal of God's will in our lives. That's what happened for Job. As he waited through these difficulties in his life, these terrible tragedies, on the other side, it's interesting, he found more blessings, more purpose than he ever had before. If God wants to change the direction of our lives, to better the direction of our lives, sometimes before he can change the direction, before any of us can change the direction in our lives, he has to stop us. And once God has stopped us, He turns us in the direction he wants us to go of greater blessings. It refocuses the purpose that we have for our lives. But we want what we want when we want it, don't we? But God doesn't give us what we want when we want it. We think that's because God doesn't want to give us what we want when we want it. But the truth is, God doesn't give us what we want when we want to, because God wants to give us more than what we could ever dream of. You and I want a little. But God wants to give us so much. And waiting is one of the ways that he refocuses our purpose so that he can give us what he wants to give us when he wants to give it to us. One of the greatest stories in the Bible is from 1 Samuel chapters 1 to 3. It's a story of a woman named Hannah, and Hannah waited for children. And the difficult thing about Hannah is that her husband also had another wife, Peninnah, who kept having children, and she wasn't too kind to Hannah about it. In fact, it says, the Bible literally says that Peninnah provoked bitterly to irritate her. Now, how would that make you feel if you were Hannah? You're not able to have children and your husband's other wife. They had more than one wife back then. And obviously, they weren't following God's commands, but they did it anyway. She was saying, you know, I've got one Hannah. What do you have? Look at what I have. Look at what you don't have. And for a mother in Israel not to have children, that was almost a sign of a curse. And year after year after year, it happened. And Peninnah would just have more children, and Hannah would have none. In our church family, no doubt, there are several couples that are waiting to have children. Some have been waiting for years. And it's not uncommon in our day and age, but many couples are experiencing infertility and face difficult challenges and obstacles, struggling to discern why God is not gifting them with children. You see, these ladies understand Hannah. And year after year, Hannah would go to the temple, and she would talk to God about it. God, I pray that you will send children into my life. And she waited, and she waited, and she waited, and she waited. And the Bible tells us that one day God heard her prayers and answered her prayers. And God sent into Hannah's life a boy, and his name was Samuel. And Samuel became the great prophet of Israel. And what was God doing? Why did God make Hannah wait? Because while Hannah was waiting, her life was developing. She was developing patience. And she was developing a prayer life. And she was developing a trust in God. Don't you think when that little boy Samuel that God wanted to use so much when he was growing up, that Hannah didn't pass some of those things on to him? Samuel, trust God. Samuel, be obedient to God. Samuel, wait on God. And God did that in Hannah all the way through a season of waiting. The truth is, sometimes we have to wait for the best. We love to say to our kids, now, sometimes you just have to wait for the best, right? Well, the truth is, we hate it when God says that to us. Or is that just me? I guess I'm the only one preaching this morning to myself. Of course we do. Isn't it true? Some of you are thinking, well, I've spent a lot of time waiting, and none of these things have ever happened to me, Bob. How come I'm not seeing those things happen? Don't miss this next statement. It's important to understand that it's not just that we wait, but how we wait that matters. In fact, if it was just that we waited that developed our character, for instance, then people with the best character in our area would be the people in rush hour trying to turn in the highway, and when they're all jammed up and they're being impatient and they just want to get to work. And how many of you have seen some of their character illustrated in their hand gestures? It's not just waiting, it's how we wait. So how do I grow through a season of waiting? The truth is, we haven't learned how to live until we've learned how to wait. Now, why is that? Because we spend so much of our time in the waiting room. If I think I'm not living while I'm waiting, then I'm going to spend a lot of my life feeling like I'm not living, because I spend more of my life waiting than living. The key is how to learn to wait. So how can I grow through a season of waiting? Three things I want to talk to you about this morning. Number one, you need to wait for the Lord. Isaiah 49:23 says, "Those who wait for me shall never be ashamed." Remember Isaiah 40, "Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength." Wait for the Lord. So when you wait, what are you waiting for? Are you waiting for the Lord? Or are you waiting for the answer? Are you waiting for what you want to happen, or are you waiting for God to act? A.B. Simpson wrote hymns, our founder in the Alliance, and one of the hymns that I love that he wrote was when he talked about, "Once I asked for healing, now I wait for the healer." He got this. He got this. Think of it, think it through with me for this morning. It's an incredibly important lesson God gives us on how to wait. Wait for the Lord. We tend to wait for the answer. And God happens to be the way we want to get the answer. So we've tried everything else. A lot of times that doesn't work. And now the last resort, we decide to pray. Let's give prayer a try. I'm going to walk and talk with God and ask him to answer the prayer that I need. So we're waiting for the answer. But the Bible says, make it more personal than that. Wait for the Lord. Can I encourage you to write this down? Because this one's going to help. We need to make our waiting less goal-oriented and more God-oriented. We need to make our waiting less goal-oriented. I need this, and I need this, and I need this, and I need this, and more God-oriented. I want to know you. I want to learn to trust you. I want to submit to you. I want to follow you. Instead of waiting for one thing to happen, when you and I turn our eyes to God and say, "God, you could do this in a moment, in a second, so I'm waiting for you to be at work. I'm waiting on you because you're the one in control." And God is in control. Yesterday in our leadership class, we were talking about the things that we have control over and the things we don't have control over. Waiting for you and I should be a powerful personal experience of trust. Times of waiting are often our greatest opportunities to trust God. I'm afraid sometimes when it comes to asking God for things we're waiting for, we sort of see him as some heavenly Wheel of Fortune game. I'll get my chance to walk up to the wheel and spin it and see what I get. And if I'm lucky, I'll get what God wants. God will give me what I want. And if I'm unlucky, I won't get what I want. But that's not God. Isaiah 64:4 says, "For since the world began, no one has seen or heard of such a God as ours, who works for those who wait for him." Will you underline "who works for those who wait for him"? We're not waiting for the answer to come. We're waiting for God to act. We're not just waiting for a good fortune or for a ship to come in. We're waiting for God to act. Isaiah 64 tells us that while we're waiting, God is working. Now, sometimes the opposite is also true. Oftentimes, when I'm working, God is waiting. While I'm trying to do it and figure it out my own way and make it happen and try to force it, God is saying, "When you get tired of wearing yourself out, just come back to me and let me know, and I'll be in on this, and I'll be part of the answer to this prayer." You see, God is working for those who wait. It's a powerful personal experience of trust. I want to be very careful here because I know how some people would take what I just said. And because what they would say, and I thought of this, Does that mean that while I'm waiting on God, I just sit in my easy chair and eat my potato chips and waiting for God to act, and that's all I have to do? No way. When I'm waiting, I'm trusting. You see, we need to learn to wait in a different language. We need to learn to wait in the Hebrew language, the language that the Old Testament was written in, rather than the English language. You see, in the English language, the word wait means stop, dead in the water, red light. I'm not going anywhere. That's what it means to wait in our language. But in Hebrew, the word wait means trust. Put our eyes on God and recognize during this time of waiting that He and He alone is the one who can answer my prayer and fulfill my needs. Psalm 37 verse 7 tells us the enemy of waiting. Wait and trust in the Lord. Don't be upset when others get rich or when someone else's plans succeed. Can you relate to that verse? I can. I'm trying to trust God in an area, and I'm waiting for Him for something to happen for you. It may be something financial, maybe something in your family, maybe something personal. And I'm waiting on Him, and I'm talking to Him about it, and I'm doing okay, and I'm trusting Him. And then all of a sudden, the other person in my life, in my family, in my friends, they get what I've been praying for. What I'm trusting for. But what does that do to you and I? You start feeling, God, I'm obviously more spiritual than they are. Why are they getting it? And not me. And then it starts to mess with our mind. The Bible says not to worry about them. God has a different plan for their lives. Wait and trust in God. One of the main things that creates in us a desire to stop waiting is when other people get what they want or what we want. They may use it the wrong way when they get it. But you don't know the end of the story yet. The end of the story in your life, if you wait, is going to have a great ending. Again, look at Isaiah 64, verse 4. For since the world began, no one has seen or heard of such a God as ours. If I'm going to wait in a way that develops me as God wants to, I have to learn to wait on God and not just wait on the answer. So how do I do that? Do you want to know how to do that practically today? Would you like to know how to do that? Yes? Okay. I'm glad you want it because I'll give it to you. What you do is you take a 3x5 card. I've got a whole stack of them in my car. Carry them all the time. On one side, you write the verse, Isaiah 64, the one that we just talked about. On the other side, you write down what you're waiting for. I'm waiting for on you, God, for. And then on the other side, you have that verse from Isaiah 64. And each time you start to think about what you're waiting for and you start to struggle with it, you get that card out and you look at what you're waiting for and you read it and then you turn it over and then you read Isaiah 64. Keep reminding you who's in charge and where your answer is. It's God. I'm waiting on God to act. And when the time is right, I can get confident of the fact that He will act when it's the best time for me. One of the most difficult lessons I've had to learn in my life is that there's a difference between God's will and God's timing. Sometimes you can know something is God's will. You know what He wants to do. And you think you know the timing of when you want to do it, but the reality is God says, no, that timing's not. It is my will, but it's not my time. And sometimes I can know something is God's will, but it's not God's time. That doesn't mean it's not God's will. It just means it's not God's time. Secondly, what do you do when you're in a season of waiting? Is you wait in a crowd. You're not alone when you wait. There's an incredible difference between waiting alone and waiting in a crowd. When you've gotten stuck in a layover in an airport all by yourself and you have to wait alone, man, time just drags by. But if you're with your family or if a big group of people are with you and you're enjoying being with them, if you get delayed, it just means more time to party. There's a difference between waiting alone and waiting in the right kind of crowd. You see, just being in a crowd's not enough. There are some crowds that you get in that make your waiting room even seem longer. You need people to encourage you, not like people like Peninnah, Not of people who flaunt what they have, but people who indeed help you to wait for the Lord. Hebrews 6 says, and so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. You may be thinking, yeah, well, he was a great person of faith. I could never wait like that. It's interesting. Have you studied the life of Abraham? Abraham waited patiently, but the real story was that Abraham struggled while he waited. God told him he was going to have a son, but he waited 25 years before that son was born. He struggled. And while he waited, Abraham said, God, I don't have a son being born. I've got a better idea. Let's make my nephew the heir. Instead of me having a real son, let's sort of transfer the title over to him. How about that for a great idea, God? And God said, no, you got to wait. And yet, when you look at the New Testament, the Bible says, look at Abraham. He's an example of you to you of patience. He's an example to you of what it means to wait in the right kind of way. Interesting. So apparently it's okay to struggle while you wait. Apparently when it comes to waiting, it's not how you struggle during the time of waiting. It's do you trust God all the way through that time? You may have a couple of stumblings, a couple of times when you trusted in yourself rather than in him. But Abraham kept coming back to trusting in God every time he came back. You see, the word faith and the word fail all begin with the same three letters, but they just end differently. Apparently, when it comes to faith and waiting, it's the end of the story that counts. And if you've been struggling while you've been waiting, join the club, join the crowd. They all struggled while they waited. We all struggle while we wait. That's part of what develops us. We wait in a crowd, in such a great crowd of people. Look at what it says in Hebrews 12, verse 1. Since we have a huge crowd of men of faith watching us, this is talking about the people who have gone before us that have loved the Lord. It's a picture that we have of them in the grandstands watching us and cheering for us and saying to us, hey, we waited. You can wait. You can do it. Let us run with patience that particular race that God has set before us. And there's another crowd we wait in. The right one. You're in a crowd of people who have waited. And if you start talking to each other, you'll find out five or six things that each one of us has waited for in our lives. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, so encourage each other and give each other strength. That's what we do through times of waiting. We have people around us that have waited for a job and are waiting for a job, who are waiting to get married, who are waiting to get married, who are waiting for ministry to happen, who are waiting to get well, or a number of other things. We wait in a crowd. You look at the people of faith then and now, and you go, they've all waited. You see, every story in the Bible is a story of someone who waited for God's best. And there was nothing wrong with them, and there was nothing wrong with God. It was part of his process of growth in their life. Stop beating yourself over the head saying, there's something wrong with my faith. I'm not praying well enough. Maybe it's because of sin in my life. That must be it. Well, maybe it's not. Maybe it's just God growing you through a season of waiting in your life. And when I say we wait in a crowd, I don't mean a big crowd like this one. I also think you need a little smaller kind of crowd, like a small group. That's the crowd you wait for after the service. That's the people that you talk to and do life with. You need to find a small group. Because if you're in a season of waiting, you need the encouragement of the people that will come alongside you and pray for you and support you and tell you their journey of waiting. How are we doing? Got time for one more? Yes? Okay. I just want to check the time. Okay, we got a little bit of time. Number three, remember this, that God waits for you. The There is a story of a man whose car stalled in heavy traffic at an intersection. And just as the light turned green, all the efforts to start the engine failed, and a chorus of honking behind him made matters worse. And finally, the man got out of the car and walked back to the first driver and said to the driver, "I'm sorry, but I can't seem to get my car started. If you go up there and give it a try, I'll stay here and blow the horn for you." I'd love to do that sometime. 2 Peter 3:9 is a key verse for us today. The Lord is not slow in doing what he promised, the way some people understand slowness. But God is being patient with you. He does not want anyone to be lost, but he wants all people to change their hearts and lives. When you're going through a time of waiting, one of the healthiest things that you and I can do is to say to ourselves, "You know what? God's patient with me. He's patient with me because he's growing me, because he wants to change my heart and my life." And when I remember how patient God is with me, it helps me be patient with the circumstances that I find myself in today. You see, Colossians 1:11 tells us what God wants us to do during these circumstances, what his patience can do for us. God will strengthen you with his own great power so that you won't give up when trouble comes. You will be patient. And not only does God want us to be patient, but he's willing to strengthen us to be patient. You're not alone even when you are alone, because God is going to strengthen you. That last verse specifically fits some of your lives. In Isaiah 30, verse 18, the Lord's still waiting for you to come to him so that he can show you his love. God is patiently waiting. He's waiting for you to come to him. I know how some of you must feel. I've blown it so many times. I've ignored God so long in my life. Some of you thinking, "I can't even believe I'm sitting in church. How can I come to him when I've ignored him so much? It would almost be embarrassing to come to him now in my stage in life." God is patient with you. God is patient with me. God waited 400 years to set his people free out of Egypt. And you think you're wearing him out because you made him wait for 10 years or 20 years or 50 years? Who are you kidding? The Word of God says God is patient with you. He's got plenty of patience for you. He's got plenty of patience for me. And you know what? I'm so glad. And the Lord still waits for you to come to him so that he can show you his love. He's still waiting. He hasn't stopped waiting. And God wants to give you and I the strength to wait. Will you pray with me? I'd invite you this morning just to respond in a very simple prayer. I know we've all been in these seasons of waiting, and for some of you, you're in one right now. Just affirm in your heart, "God, I'm waiting and willing to wait for you. I've been tempted to do it my own way. Thank you for reminding me to wait for your way. I'm willing to wait for your best in my life. Lord, while I'm waiting, help me to trust in you." In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.